CliffCentral.com. Good morning and welcome to the Friday edition of the Gareth Cliff Show. Thank you so much for having us on. My name is Siya Sangweni, standing in for Gareth Cliff this morning. Also with me, as usual on a Friday, is Leanne Moll. Good morning, Leanne. I don't even know where to begin with explaining what transpired over the past couple of minutes. But then also, before we get into that, good morning, Michael. How's it?
Morning.
But just nearly there. Let me see if I can hear you on my side.
Can you hear me
this
right?
Is just freaking delightful. More technical issues when Gareth isn't here. I think you guys can hear one another. I can't hear you. So that's the problem.
Yeah, I can hear you.
So this is just exactly what happens on a Friday when Gareth leaves for all of one day and then we are trying to pick up the pieces and make it work regardless. Look, thank you so much for bearing with us. We are going to sort it out if we aren't able to hear one another. But yeah, Gareth is away for the day and he'll be back on Monday. The show will be as normal on Monday. But in the meantime, Liad, Michael, and I are here to get your morning started off well. I forgot your names for all of a brief second. How are your mornings started off well? How's your morning, Liad?
Well, if you can hear me, that would be a good start.
Not like mine. Not like ours here in studio. Let me tell you that.
Are you having to, like, lip read now, Sia? I think he's having to lip read.
I can't hear them.
He's having to lip read.
Are you still based in Joburg or are you based outside of Joburg?
No, still Joburg. Still
didn't
Joburg, Boots.
But didn't you move to like a
Cape
place
Town.
Like. Yeah.
Yeah.
There was seals and stuff.
Yeah, so I was in Cork Bay for a year. That's where the seals and stuff were.
Is it Cork and then, or Kalk?
You know what? It should be kalk, which is Afrikaans for chalk, but the locals call it Cork Bay, darling.
Why is it called Chalk Bay?
You know, you're asking me questions here that I'd have to Google myself, which I feel like I should have already, and I probably have, but, you know, it was a long time ago.
Where in, like, relation to Sea Point is it?
Oh, my God, Michael. Do you know where Musenberg is?
Yeah. So okay. So towards, like, from Sea Point to, like, the wilderness, that direction?
Probably. So it goes Musenberg, then St. James, then Cork Bay, then Fishhook.
I don't think I've ever been there. I've been to Betty's Bay, I've been to the wilderness, and I've been to Sea Point.
Okay, no, then it's definitely not in between those. another thing for you to Google, you know?
Yeah, I'm actually going to Cape Town next month for a friend's birthday, so I think I need to do some exploring and start venturing and finding different locations.
Yeah, listen, if you're not going for just a day, then you have to go to that side of the Cape. It's absolutely beautiful.
What are, like, the top two tourist attractions in Cork Bay?
Well, given COVID now, it's a little bit difficult to say. But there is the Brass Bell. It's a very popular eatery on the beach. And it's had its fair share of history with waves crashing in and flooding. And sure COVID is also another one for the books. But it's a really stunning village. Musenberg, just before that, is amazing to watch with the surfers. Man, haven't you seen those little beach huts that are all brightly coloured and multicoloured?
Yeah?
That's Musenberg. And also parts of Cork Bay have that as well.
Are those change rooms?
Yes, they are.
Ah, that's really cool.
Greg. So, yes, and then I stayed in McGregor for a year, which...
Where's McGregor?
Do you know... Okay, so it's along the wine route.
Stellenbosch.
Past Stellenbosch, much further.
Stellenbosch the wine route?
Yes, it is part of the wine. You're very frustrating. You know that.
I just want to know.
it's way out of there. It's about 2.5 hours outside of Cape Town. So you would travel towards Worcester, and then you would travel towards Robertson.
We have a place called Worcester.
Flags.
Wait until you know how it's spelled. I feel like you need to do a little bit of research. Like, just go into Google Maps for a start.
Oh, gosh. I'll leave you guys for...
Worcester starts with a W.
I'll leave you guys for 2 seconds, and then it's become a geography lesson. Morning. Exactly, exactly. Well, look, I want to apologize first and foremost to say we were trying to patch things all up together over the past couple of seconds, but I think you guys should be able to hear me properly, and I can hear you properly now.
Yeah.
Yes, definitely. I think after all of that, just to round off Flax and my discussion, mm-hmm. is to note some of the comments. At least I know I wasn't the only one who was frustrated. Zanele said simply, Flax, with many exclamation marks. Rav or Ruv 1 says, there is a thing called Google Maps, Flax.
Ooh.
And Tracy Bart says, Flax is like that three-year-old asking, and why? And why?
Yeah, you gotta ask. That's how you find out.
And then I stand to be corrected. Thank you, Lanice, who says Cork Bay is Lime Bay in English. I'm sure that I actually did look this up at one point. But you know, you can't keep all this information in your brain. You've got to let some of it go and make way for new information.
Oh, excuse us, 30 seconds, champion. What's that supposed to mean? What, your intellect is just, you know, spilling over. You have to make room for new things. What's going on?
I'm like a sponge, Sia. I'm like a sponge.
Anyway, look, so yeah, we have so much more news coming your way, and we have some funny stories. George Meany will stop by as usual on a Friday, but I do have to disclose some things to preface the madness that's going on behind the scenes. So my day started at about 1 a.m. this morning. I wouldn't necessarily say I'm a light sleeper, but I'm kind of always on edge. You know, when you're putting a show together, you're waiting for, are things going to work out? Is everyone going to pull through? You know, is anyone going to pull out? Or, you know, you make sense of everything as you go. And so I got a notification at 1 a.m. and that's specifically because of instances like this. But it was a message from Ben, who, you know, for the past few weeks now, we're used to having him on a Friday morning between 6 and 6:30 just to catch up with him and what he's doing in his life. And he starts telling me that he's feeling ill. He doesn't understand what's going on. He's just trying to monitor the situation. So not only has my phone beeped and woken me up, rightfully so, because I've planned it that way, but now I'm invested in what's happening with Ben. I'm like, Ben, are you sure you're okay? Have you tried this? And do you want to try that? And so we're now having a full-blown conversation at 1 a.m. At this point, I'm wide awake, and I couldn't go back to sleep. So I tried to do some work, but that only lasted very briefly. And then this is all, you know, really my fault, because I thought, well, then let me just watch something. And what I'm still watching 2 weeks, 3 weeks now, going on 3 weeks, is The Underground Railroad. Now, if you don't know what the series is about, it's about the beginning.
Underground train.
Sure, Michael, that's
the mature version of Thomas the Choo Choo Train.
Thanks, Flax.
Oh, Lord.
Yes, that's what it's about. It's about the emergence and the growth of the Underground Railroad in the United States back in the times of slavery. And that's how a lot of slaves were able to escape plantations by using these underground railroads. So big, big mistake to think, oh, let me just watch something that's very light and perhaps I'd be able to go back to sleep. As soon as you're there and you're seeing people get whipped and you're seeing all of what is happening back in the slave era, you're like, oh, shucks. So I ended up binge watching like 2 or 3 episodes. Then I couldn't go back to sleep. So that's my delightful, ridiculous start of the day.
How long is an episode?
So they fluctuate, and this is what I actually love about where we are going with, you know, streaming services and on-demand stuff. It's not like ordinary television back in the day that everything had to be 30 minutes. So sometimes you could actually tell that, have you ever watched a series and you can tell, now you're just filling up time. Or there was no need for this scene, or there was no need for this, you know, storyline. With this series, since it was specifically for HBO Max, which is a streaming platform as well, they vary in length. You know, some are full hours, some are an hour and 7 minutes, and then there was this one random episode that's 19 minutes. But I'm like, I like that because you deal, the series is broken down into chapters, 10 chapters specifically, and with every single chapter, they deal with what is, and then they move on. So I like it, you know?
No, that would irritate me. I like consistency. Keep everything 30 minutes or something. I like David Dobrik's vlogs because they're all 4 minutes, 20 seconds on YouTube.
Yeah, I was about to say, I just know the name and I know he's a YouTuber. I don't know anything else about him. Who is
he? You don't know David Dobrik?
Hey, you didn't know Vooster. So let's not judge each other, but rather educate each other. Who is this David Dobrik?
So David Dobrik, when he was much younger, decided just to buy a camera and start like vlogging his life.
Mm-hmm.
But he kept his vlogs very short. And he started numbering his vlogs. So he started with vlog 1, and then he just kept going. His friends didn't understand why he was filming them, why he was uploading it to YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
And then he just started taking off to the point where he became a multi-millionaire, like before he was even 20 years old, or even like well into his early 20s. He's now worth like probably like $16 million, $20 million. Uh-huh. And all he does is he films his life, and he's like on vlog like 400-500 now. And he started, like, everything's on YouTube. He gifts his friends with cars. He gives money away to a lot of people. Just a young kid that really just carried on and pushed through the whole YouTube thing and made it big. You get, like, endorsement deals and stuff. There's lots of people coining it off YouTube.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. There are.
I just knew his name. I didn't really know who he is and what he's about.
Probably like one of the top YouTubers in the world. He's huge.
I
think he gets like 11 million views per video.
Look, I'm not disputing his influence
it's really
or how
good.
Entertaining
it's
he is. I just don't feel like I'm missing out on much. Leanne, am I missing out on anything?
Who's?
I have no idea who this person is, but I instead of asking questions, I'm just going to Google him.
Who's your guy's top celebrity? If you had to pick one celebrity in this world that's like you love, proper celebrity.
It's funny you mentioned this because on my way here, I was listening, I'm a person who creates random playlists, and I have a playlist for every day of the week. I have a playlist for whatever activity I'm doing. Am I driving? Am I bathing? Am I taking a walk? Whatever it is. And I've reluctantly added Justin Bieber to one of my playlists because I'm just like, I like this new Peaches song. I tried to dispute it and it's not fun. Now I'm like, yeah, this is really, really cool. And I was actually thinking about you as I was listening to that this morning. So is Justin Bieber still on your list there?
He's not as high up as he was, but he's definitely making a comeback. I see he's making a song with Kid Laroi, and it looks like Drake as well. Everyone's dropping albums next month. You got John Mayer dropping an album. I hear Justin Bieber's dropping an album next month. That's just two people, and I say everyone. That's all I know.
Yeah, totally, everyone.
there's a lot that I have to Google this morning because I nearly did that nod of, I have no idea who Kid Laroi is.
I could have just named anyone. Could have been like Johnny Depp's dropping an album next month.
Like, oh, good for him. Great. I know Leanne will probably say it's some YouTuber, right?
Yeah, those are the lines of what I was thinking, because again, COVID changed everything, where so many other people had the opportunity of becoming celebrities without needing big studios and big budgets.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Exactly as Michael was explaining. But no, that's something I'd need to think about for a bit.
That's so true. It's so much easier to become famous now because everything's like on digital and widespread. You just have to create one like viral video and everyone watches it and knows who you are.
Yeah.
I guess, but it also comes with a whole lot of perks, yes, but also a bunch of nonsense, alas. So, yeah, we'll get into more of that and so much more this morning. I want to get the morning started off properly to have some semblance of a normal show, despite everything that happened this morning. As I explained a little earlier, Gareth is off for the day, but he'll be back on Monday morning and things will be back to normal. But in the meantime, let's start your morning off with five things that you need to know. So hopefully this keeps you updated on things that are happening. The first thing that you need to know this morning is our president, Cyril Ramaphosa, has paid tribute to Zambia's former president, Kenneth Kaunda. Now, Ramaphosa declared a national period of mourning for 10 days starting today. This is Friday. Flags will be flown at half-mast at all flag stations. And Ramaphosa has described Kaunda as the father of African independence and unity. He says the Zambian was an unwavering champion of South Africa's liberation, and Kaunda offered the ANC headquarters in Lusaka during the apartheid era, and the former statesman was given the Order of the Companions of O.R. Tambo in 2002. So shame, man. I knew the name Kenneth Kaunda, and I knew that he was a former president, but I'll have to be honest and say I didn't know how much he was tied into the freedom that we have in this country today and the history of the ANC.
So he was a really good friend of Nelson Mandela's, and was very vocal in having Africa be seen as a united continent, very much like Thabo Mbeki's thoughts and actions as well. Mm-hmm. And just to speak of his personality, because I didn't know much about him. It's not like we turn on the TV and see Zambia's president on all the time.
Right.
But one of the TV channels interviewed the ANC's Jesse Duarte, and she said that the overall impression she got when the few times that she met him was that he was like this really gentle soul, a real gentleman. But we get to the point really, really quickly. He didn't mess around. But overall, the sentiment seems to have been that he was a really important man in Zambia's history. And certainly he turned it around. My mom was born in Rhodesia, which then became Zambia. She was born in 1952, and Kenneth Kaunda really reached mainstream politics in 1953 in the country.
Oh.
So it was during, to think that that was when she was born, and now she's almost 70 years old. So, his whole life was dedicated to politics and running the country.
How did he die? Amazing.
He was 97, so I'm sure it was old age related causes.
Yeah, and he
wasn't a skateboarding incident. Although he was a very fit man mentally and physically, and they showed a clip of him at Madiba's funeral,
mm-hmm.
where he, it was more of a into the celebration phase rather than mourning, and he darted from the crowd up the stairs and darted onto the stage, even though it was like little old man run. He was just displaying his energy and enthusiasm to get up onto the stage and speak about his friend.
Tell me if this sounds naive, or maybe it might sound really silly, but I've been thinking about it with the passing of former President Kenneth Kaunda and also the episode of So What Now that we had this week. And if you didn't watch, we had Antoinette Sithole on, who, well, amongst other things on the show, but Antoinette Sithole is the sister of Hector Peterson. And this is why I think it might sound very naive. It is quite something for me to wrap my head around, that we are still living in the midst of people who have seen such great changes in history, or who have been part of such great changes in history. You know, to think about, you know, former President Kaunda and what he's done, and, you know, if you were to sit down with him, the stories that he'd be able to share would just put so much into perspective. And, you know, earlier this week when we shot with Mom Antoinette, there were so many things that, you know, even behind the scenes, I was sitting with him and going, sitting with her rather, and going, wait, you were part of it. What we know in the Soweto Uprising, what we read in history textbooks, this was your life. And it was actually behind the scenes while she was getting made up where I asked her, are you tired of talking about this? It wasn't the best question to ask as a producer just before.
What a way to get him ready. For a little pre-interview. Do you really want to do this?
Yeah, I'm like, it was in hindsight.
Are you sure you want to go out there?
In hindsight, not the best question to ask when I'm about to like put into student, go, okay, and talk. But really.
And now do exactly what I asked you not to.
Exactly. But it hit home in such a different way to think about, wait, this isn't just a headline. This isn't just a story. She lost her baby brother. And not just lost her baby brother, she saw her baby brother die in front of her. I'm sorry to make it slightly morbid on a Friday morning, but it brought it home. It hit home in such a different way to go, whoa, and we could possibly cross paths with Ma Antoinette at the grocery store, at the robot. We wouldn't even think of her being such a part of a monumental occasion in this country's history, and we are still living in the midst of these people. So I'm still surprised and shocked by that, I'd have to say.
No, well, I mean, you know, there may not be very many people who were alive during World War One. Mm-hmm. In fact, I think there was a death of a former soldier quite recently, but he was almost, you know, over 100 years old. And we certainly don't know anyone living who experienced the Titanic.
What about Kate Winslet and Leonardo DiCaprio?
Leonardo DiCaprio.
And surely.
Yes.
And, you know, surely the events that we have gone through may not have been as catastrophic as World War One, but in retrospect, perhaps they are. But yeah, it is. We're living such an important part of history at the moment.
Mm.
Speaking of the Titanic, I found a list of really stupid questions that people had asked on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
And the one was someone saying, what was the name of the ship in the Titanic?
Wow.
Gosh, yes.
Let that one sink in.
Pardon the pun.
10 points to you, Max. That's just like asking, where's the Durban July going to take place? Or when and where is the Durban July going to take place?
Yeah.
Stupid. Anyway, okay, so the second thing that you need to know this morning, you might have heard about this already, given the announcement was yesterday, but visiting hours to all Gauteng public healthcare facilities have been temporarily suspended. The Gauteng Health Department says that this is because of the third wave of COVID-19 infections. Only one visitor per patient will be allowed in exceptional cases. This is still not defined yet what exceptional cases is, but the province recorded over 7,500 new COVID-19 infections in the last 24 hours. Meanwhile, the South African Medical Association says Gauteng hospitals are running out of beds and some patients are now being transferred to other facilities. So it is said that the province is currently the epicenter of the third wave of COVID-19. With the peak expected next month, there are fears health facilities will be stretched beyond capacity. So SAMA, again, the South African Medical Association, says private hospitals have been the hardest hit, but public hospitals are also taking strain. Moving on to the third thing that you need to know this morning. We actually haven't discussed a lot of this, well, because A, it's sports, but this has been interesting to see how it plays out. But as of recently, Rafael Nadal and Naomi Osaka, with 24 Grand Slam titles between them, both withdrew from Wimbledon yesterday, with the Spanish star also pulling out of the Tokyo Olympics in a bid to prolong his career. Nadal's snub of the Olympics was later followed by world number 5, Dominic Thiem, also withdrawing from Tokyo. Osaka, however, said she still intended to take part in her home Olympics. There have been a lot of people who are actually judging Naomi Osaka, saying, like, why is she even representing her home country as opposed to representing the United States? But yeah, I preface it by saying we haven't really discussed it, but Naomi Osaka has interestingly been in the news recently because she has decided not to take part in certain sporting events because she says she's looking after herself, but specifically her mental health. What do you guys think about this? Because I was a little surprised to hear that she's taken quite a drastic step.
How can you just pull out of a tournament? Like, the reason you entered the tournament was to win or get to the final stages. You don't just play to put down your name and then leave.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think for the little that I know about her, I know that she battles a bit with social anxieties. I think it's refreshing that we have such a focus on mental health now, and how sportsmen are able to say, I'm taking a break, and it's not because I have a torn tendon. It's because I need some time out.
Mm-hmm.
It's self-preservation. I'd rather not put myself through the mental challenge of this tournament and save myself for one that's going to mean more to me.
I think it's a massive statement regardless, you know, on the likes of mental health and how serious the world takes it. And not to make light of mental health or mental wellness, but I'm no sportsman, but look, I'm far from a sportsman. I'm sure we all
really
are.
Really, Theo? Are you sure?
I don't know, my birdie from hitting
a
home run.
Look like a natural born athlete.
Thanks. There's something about my swing and the LBW and the whatnots here. But I'm even one to marvel at the commitment that it takes to be a sports player. You know, being a sportsman is not like being a singer, for example, and I know singers still have their own training and coaching and vocal exercise that they need to do, but being a sportsman is a full-time 24/7 commitment. When you sleep, what you eat, how you train, you know, it's a whole thing. And so after months or years of this commitment, she building up to certain things in her career, and then she says, actually, for my mental health, I'll step away. Whoa, like that's big to me. And it's not even that she was saying, I'll still play, but I refuse to do interviews. She just stopped it all in one go. I'm really shocked by that.
What's her name again? I'm going to Google it.
Naomi Osaka. Osaka.
I don't know if he's flags you're taking the piss here or legitimately saying you will.
Guys, she has an estimated net worth of $25 million. I'd also be like, guys, I'm taking a little holiday mid-season.
Well, okay, yeah. Good point.
She's young.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But also think of it.
Got a whole life ahead of her.
But think of it in context of how long a.
She's 23 and valued at $25 million. I think she's going to do what she wants.
No, yes. But think of her in the context of being a tennis player and, you know, however long the tennis career is and what a break like this means for her. Will she still train during the break? Is she not? Is she. I don't know.
She's 23 years old. She's not taking a break. She's going on like VAC or something, matric rage or whatever.
Is that what she didn't say in her statement?
When you're 23 and valued at $25 million, a break for you is like going to Mexico in like a 50-bedroom house on a yacht, whatever.
Thank you so much for clarifying that. Okay.
Good Lord, imagine being valued. What's 25? What's the current exchange rate? Is it like 16 rand to the dollar?
Oh, gosh. It will make us...
Let's work it off like 18. Let's call it even at 18.
No, I think it should be like...
She's worth nearly half a billion rand at the age of 23.
Yep.
Can you imagine being 23 and worth half a billion rand? Imagine walking into a club at the age of 23 and you have half a billion rand. You swap that thing till it melts.
Wow, thank goodness you're not a financial advisor.
This is making me feel so great about my life because I'm so close to that half a billion, right? It's just delightful.
I'm going to go buy a tennis racket at Game today. I want to be valued at half a billion and take mid-season breaks.
Oh, Lord.
Flex, aren't you a little too old for that? To get your career started now?
Yeah, you've got your prime.
I'm way too old. I had like a knee operation. Sports is out for me.
So, just out of the equation. Well, okay.
I'm going to have to focus on my intellect now.
Or your YouTube career. Leanne.
Well, thank goodness you've got that to fall back on.
I'm going to go give guided tours in Cape Town. So this is Talk Bay.
Lord.
Flex, I actually believe in you. You can be whatever you want to do. Don't let Leanne, take you off your track here. You can do it. Fourth story that you need to know this morning comes from the best Korea, which is North Korea. And North Korean leader Kim Jong-un has said his country needs to prepare for both dialogue and confrontation with the United States under President Joe Biden. This is what is reported about an hour ago. Now, at a meeting of the Central Committee of the ruling Workers' Party of Korea yesterday, Kim Jong-un outlined his strategy for relations with Washington and the policy, and the word, their quote is, the policy tendency of the newly emerged U.S. administration. So Kim Jong-un further stressed the need to get prepared for both dialogue and confrontation, especially to get fully prepared for confrontation in order to protect the dignity of their state and reliably guarantee a peaceful environment. Now, he further called for sharply and promptly reacting and coping with the fast-changing situation and concentrating efforts on taking stable control of the situation on the Korean Peninsula. I don't know about you, but someone like Kim Jong-un, it could just seem like an empty threat, but at the same time, it could seem like a very legitimate threat.
Who's he threatening to nuke now?
Well, if he's saying, yeah, sure, we can prepare for dialogue, yeah, that's all good and well, let's sit down and talk, but at the same time, we're also preparing for confrontation. Like, what's that supposed to mean? That is a bit of a threat.
I'll talk to you, but it's going to be rough.
Yeah,
my actions speak louder than my words.
Exactly. Yeah. Let's have peaceful conversations. Let's meet at a table and talk, but I will be bringing my armed rifle. Like, that's what he's essentially saying to the to the US and to the world. Anyways, don't want to mess with that guy.
But does he leave North Korea and like go to like G7 summits or anything? Or don't Oaks quite like him?
No, he's not really. Well,
I'm not 100% sure.
The world, and he wasn't invested in the G7. Well, not even.
Didn't he once meet up with Donald Trump?
Yeah,
Donald had to go to him.
You know, he's actually like that friend who always wants to host at their house and never wants to make the drive to your house. Because then as soon as you go, no, I live in Waterfall, they're like, oh, so far.
Yeah, but I feel like if he leaves there, he's less safe. He's more safe if he stays there and people come visit him in his exit estate than him leaving and then having a whole bunch of security. Yeah, because I don't think he's a very well liked man.
No.
Well, in North Korea,
he is the only man.
People are led to believe that he's amazing, and they would never harm him. So that is where he's safest.
And then the last story you need to know this morning, I don't know, perhaps it's just me, but I think it means more to people in the U.S. than it does over on this side. But the United States yesterday designated Juneteenth, which marks the end of slavery in the country, as a federal holiday, with President Joe Biden urging Americans to learn from our history. Now, most U.S. states recognize Juneteenth as a holiday or commemorate the day, but the bill made the 19th of June the 12th federal holiday and the first new one in 38 years. Now, the date has taken on renewed resonance in recent years, with millions of Americans bringing up the likes of race relations and racial injustice in the country. But in a statement, President Joe Biden said, "This is a day of profound weight and profound power, and to remember the moral stain and the terrible toll that slavery took on the country and continues to take, what I've long called America's original sin." Now, I'm not making light of the situation at all, and this is exactly why I say perhaps it has more resonance in the United States than it does here on this side. But I watched part of the commemoration or the signing of this holiday into being yesterday, and it just seemed so staged and so fake. There were good old Nancy Pelosi was part of everything that was happening a few hours ago with Juneteenth, and it seemed like she just said, call on all the black people you know, let's put them all together, invite the media, and then let's have a kumbaya moment. And I mean a literal kumbaya moment, because they sang a song. Firstly, you don't want to see politicians sing, but they sang a song called Lift Every Voice, and it is traditionally sung by black people in times of struggle. It's been like a song that is sung through hard times. I'm going to play a bit of it. You tell me if maybe I'm just overreacting, but all of this just seems way too staged, way too fake. I think if they really want the true essence of the day and the sentiment of it, there's nothing stopping them from signing it, showing that it has been signed, and they leave. There was no need for this.
Lift every voice and sing till earth and heaven ring. Ring with the harmonies of liberty. Let our rejoicing rise high as the listening skies. Let it resound loud as the rolling sea. Sing a song full of the faith that the dark past has taught us. Sing a song full of the hope that the present has brought us. Facing the rising sun of our new day begun, let us march on till victory is won.
I get what you're saying. Like, I think that was a spur of the moment sort of decision by the man to start singing that, because you would have someone who can actually sing if you wanted it to be like setting everything. That man, you couldn't hit a note.
Of the right.
That was like cringe to watch.
His voice was breaking in some points. I mean, he is a politician, and we weren't expecting much from him as a singer. But the whole setup, if you weren't able to see it, I don't know. It's very Americans here. Mm-mm. You know, it's most things that Americans and American politicians do is a bit cringy to us more conservative South Africans. So, yeah, I don't know. It seemed okay. I was expecting worse, I must be honest.
See, I over... overly analyze some things, and it's a pity we can't play the specific portion of the video. When the camera pans, sorry if you're listening, you'll just have to find this video online later, or we'll put it up on cliffcentral.com. When the camera pans over Nancy Pelosi, she wasn't even on the correct line of the song, or perhaps she didn't know all of the lines of the song, so she was sort of buying face by looking over at the other people next to her and smiling at that. It was just way too staged. And this is what I thought when I first saw the video. The country is called the United States of America. If you want to unite people, why didn't you just sing your national anthem?
Which one was Nancy?
Nancy Pelosi was in that. she's the one who has the bob and the two. I'm noticing fashion. I don't know. She was the white woman in the midst of all the black people.
Did you see? They were like holding up the like declaration, and it was blocking her from all the cameras.
Well, she
couldn't see her.
I think she was probably blocking her mouth to not make it obvious that she doesn't know the words to the song.
La 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 la. Oh dear.
So cringeworthy. Yeah. I honestly think that is really,
that is
really
great
bad
to watch, though.
Corona's Boring says the sound of Parliament was sung much better. Nico says my ears just grew legs and ran for the hills. Tracy says my ears are bleeding. Surely someone else was available, right? If they wanted to really make this a moment, they could have hired someone to beautifully sing this.
And, like, you know you can't sing. Why would you volunteer to sing on, like, a news station that's being broadcast to the world? Like, that's not the time for you to think you can sing.
But also it's got a lot to do with sound production, guys. I mean, his mic should have been turned.
No, that needed auto-tune.
Yeah.
But his mic needed to be turned off.
Yeah.
And there needed to be a mic taking in the crowd singing, because I felt like they had a bit of a better tune.
Mm, I agree with you there. Because his mic was way, like, at the top, and all you could hear was him.
Yeah.
You couldn't even hear Nancy or see Nancy.
We couldn't see Nancy because she didn't want us to see her. Going back to some comments this morning from some earlier news stories, let's see what people are saying.
Let the people speak.
Yes. Steph says, Sia, for many of us, it's fresh history. I remember when June 16 wasn't a holiday, but we didn't go to school on that day due to possible dangerous demonstrations. Wow. So this is in reference to what I was mentioning a little earlier about people who are part of history who still live amongst us. Steph, here's something interesting to what you've mentioned. And maybe I'm being a little too deep on a Friday morning as well, but this is to your point around the fact that it's fresh history and you really lived through all of this. I would have loved to know, as someone who was born in 1995 and, you know, history doesn't really talk about this much, what happened the day after. I wouldn't even say the 27th of April, because that was South Africa's first democratic election. But when the ANC was announced as the ruling party, Nelson Mandela was announced as the new president of South Africa, what happened on that day in the country? Because that meant...
Have you not watched Invictus?
That's around the... I've watched years ago, but maybe we're on two different points here. My point is... The exact literal day afterwards, where now it says, despite your race, you are able to go wherever you want to in the country, and there are no, by this time you need to be out of this area, and actually now we can all be in the same spaces. What happened on that first day? I wonder, to have been a fly on that wall, like, I wonder what that was like.
I feel like,
I
could be wrong as well, but I feel like, Sia, you're looking at it like in a day, everything mm-hmm. just switched over. Surely there was like a gradual build up of new implementation and laws, or the reduction of laws and over time. Mm. Surely it wasn't just a like wake up tomorrow.
Yeah. It was gradual, and it wasn't like, you know, we didn't have much to rely on in terms of reflecting what was really going on the streets. You have to try and think of days before TikTok and Facebook and social media and WhatsApp.
Before, when there were 24-hour news channels where you were constantly updated. Like,
exactly.
Oh, there are no riots. Everything's peaceful now. You can go out.
Yeah, I mean, you got 1 hour of news at 8 o'clock at night, an hour of news in the morning, and I don't even think that was a thing until later on,
mm-hmm.
and possibly something at 6 o'clock in the afternoon. So we didn't know. We just got on with our lives and went to school and carried on. It's completely different to now.
Yeah,
was everything. Everything like cash payments back then? Like, because there was no credit cards or EFTs.
No,
I was thinking about how you bought
the TV.
No,
they were cards. They were cards, except we used them in a machine that would make a photocopy or through duplicating paper.
Gosh, yes.
What? So that the numbers would be. The numbers would be impressed through the ink. But my word, you're making me feel terribly old. But also we used checks in those days. We used a lot of checks. Mm-hmm. It was nothing unusual to go to Checkers and write out a check. But why were you asking about we were using cash?
Oh, I was wondering how you bought the TV.
You would have used a check.
thought you were there with coins. Like, here you go, here's my stack of coins.
No, because I was like thinking, there was no credit cards or ATMs. There was nothing digital back then. Mm. So,
no, there were.
I assume everyone had to carry, like, wads of cash.
There were ATMs. There were ATMs. I mean, I just have to remember at that point I had a Bob T account, which was for FNB. It was a teenaged account. And that card we would put into an ATM machine. Whether it was going to come out again or not was...
it was like a gamble.
You know, another story.
Whoa.
Yeah, I got bust many times bunking varsity because I... A card in an area that I wasn't supposed to be in, or a machine rather, had swallowed my card.
Yeah.
And you literally have to wait. You have to wait for them to come and open the machine and give you your card, or they'll post it back to you after a few days.
You lived, girl. You were trying to fuck school. You were trying to be with the mans. Then this would happen. Look, yeah, I know it is a bit of a bizarre thought that I had. But, yeah, it's long set with me and in my mind to think what was the country like the days following, you know, our democratic election and whatnot? Because I'm sure there was still a sense of distrust just because laws now say we're all free and we should all accept each other. Doesn't mean, you know, perhaps some people did. And I don't think if I was alive in those days, I would have been like, oh yeah, sure. Let me go to the middle of Stanton and stay there up until 9 p.m. I would have been like, okay. Back to the way to I go.
Yeah, I mean, people's the rules and the guidelines and government stipulations changed way before people's opinions did.
Mm.
Mm.
It took a very long time for white South Africans, and I can only speak on behalf of white South Africans, and even then, not on behalf of all of them.
Mm-hmm.
But it took a long time to adjust to this. It's almost as if it happened. It was happening before our eyes on TV, before we'd been able to process it. And again, that's just due to lack of the connections that we have today and the ability to see opinionated people speak their truths and have it readily available on platforms on our phones.
Right. And Zanele also echoes what we were talking about a little earlier, saying, you're right, Sia, what a blessing to live in a time with people who were part of the struggle that liberated us. Pity history isn't a priority in school like back in our days. And then here's a message from Timba Wangu, says, good morning, I'm a new subby here after watching MacG yesterday. To you, Timba, and to many other people, welcome. And we do have to put a disclaimer and say to all of you, welcome to the Gareth Cliff Show. Come back on Monday as well, and Gareth will be back. This isn't just how the show is all the time. Don't worry, come back on Monday, and you'll see so much more. So look, yeah, we have even more news and great stories for you straight after this, but for now we have to take a break. This is the Gareth Cliff Show on CliffCentral.com. CliffCentral.com.